The News from Lake Wobegon podcast has been made possible by Pillsbury Grand's Cinnamon Rolls, offering your family the fresh baked aroma and taste of Cinnabon cinnamon. You can find them in your grocer's refrigerated section. Pillsbury Grand's Cinnamon Rolls, making Sundays even sweeter.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It snowed there last night. It snowed. Snow came down, and snow was still there when Dorothy came into the Chatterbox Cafe this morning, and she took the minestrone off the menu. It was going to be the special today, and she put on the beef stew with big chunks of beef in it and potatoes, and she put on the apple cobbler for a dessert, because you need something. You need something to lower your center of gravity when winter is coming on. You need to get weight down lower in your body. Some of you are like thoroughbreds, and you're built too high. You've been exercising the upper body too much. You marathoners with the giraffe legs and the big heads And your butts are not big enough. I see people fitting this description here in the hall. It's a very dangerous time of year for you to be walking around with a high center of gravity. See, you're very graceful and you're beautiful people. I'm not saying that you're not, but you got to lower the center of gravity to be safe walking on slippery sidewalks. You walk down a sidewalk and your arms are going this power walk. Your elbows are up and high, and all your weight is up here above your waist. And you just step onto one little tiny slippery piece of concrete, just a little slab of ice down there, and whoa! And your hands go flying up in the air, and it just twists a little something in your back, and whoa! And suddenly you are living in a world of pain. I'm sorry, you're a Buddhist, you're a vegetarian, you're a poet, you're a good person, you helped to save the whales, but you're in deep, deep trouble now. That my people, the people with the big piano legs and the big bellies, big, great, whoa, big bellies, big enough to have their own name hanging out there, and the haunches and the rumps of Percheron ponies. My people just go skating right across. They just go skiing across. They have no problem whatsoever. But these delicate people, you marathoners, and some of you have come out from California, and you came out here to visit relatives, and you're in terrific shape, and you've got low metabolism, and your blood pressure is just fantastic. And some of you men, you have prostates that are soft and pliable and that are just an object of admiration to every doctor who's held them in his fingers. You're in perfect health, you thought, but now suddenly you've got this high center of gravity, see, because your butt is too small, and you go walking across a slippery surface and across a concrete walk, and whoa, suddenly your hands go up and your back just twists just slightly. Oh my gosh, and you are onto a long road of pain and suffering, and they send you down to the Mayo Clinic, and their top lower back man, Dr. Butts, is down there, and he just lightly with his index finger just touches that point just right there by your spine, and you let out a scream. You're 30 years in yoga, and you're a vegetarian, and you love cats, and you came here from Santa Barbara to visit friends, and you're out here bicycling and running. You're a marathoner. You're a good person, but you just stayed 2 days too long. And the snow fell, and my people are just cruising along because they're built for traction, you see. They're built for traction, not for speed. And here you are, and it's just the wrong place at the wrong time. They're talking about 6 months of rehab for you. And you are on a long road that's never going to work. And you're going to wind up living out in a yurt out in the Catskills with a couple of holistic practitioners who believe in massaging the chakra and a diet of chopped chives and Swiss chard and channeling the spirit of Deepak Chopra children's choirs chanting and so forth, and it's never going to work. Your health insurance is going to run out, and you're going to be living out there a life of poverty and pain, a terrible combination. Whereas my people, who are big, hefty people and have a low center of gravity, they do very, very well. If you get my point, you get my point. You people need to put rocks in your pockets. Put a sandbag in your pants. I mean, we're past the point of vanity here. We're past the point of vanity. It's survival. We're talking about survival now. Winter has begun. Forget how it looks. Just fill out your pants. Load up your pants. And you'll thank me for this. You'll thank me for this someday. Because it's all about survival, isn't it? It's all about survival. I suffered a minor stroke here the other day with no side effects at all. And my last name is Keeler, K-E-I-L-L-O-R. My birth date is 8-7-42. I suffered no side effects. And it was a stroke that came about through stress of the brain. I remember this very well when it happened. I had taken my car in to have it serviced for winter, and I had to take the bus on University Avenue, and I got on the bus, and I was sitting behind a beautiful, well, I thought she was beautiful, a woman with sort of dark hair tied up in a clip, and she was sitting there. She was not really dressed for cold weather. I was kind of interested in that, so I was sitting behind her, ready to put an arm around her should she need this. And she was wearing a black T-shirt. It's kind of low cut. And I was kind of surprised by that. And then I looked over her shoulder, and I saw that she had a calculus textbook on her lap. And I'm an English major. I haven't looked at calculus since I was in the ninth grade. But suddenly it all became clear to me. And the differential integers of the mean infinitives. And it just... Suddenly, this problem all came clear to me, and I saw the answer, and I started to tell her the answer, and then my speech was slurred, and my face sort of went numb, and when I came to, the EMTs were there, and they were shoveling me onto a gurney, and I was calling out numbers, one after the other, that made no sense to anybody. But a graduate student in mathematics got this on his cell phone, and he wrote down the numbers, and it turned out to be the missing formula for a science project, which they raise soybeans that taste exactly like beef. Soybeans that they process, and it tastes exactly, the most experienced carnivore cannot tell this from a prime rib. It's a medium rare beef, and they grow it out in the field in western Minnesota. And it's good for you. It's beef that's good for you, and it's no cholesterol at all, and it consumes triglycerides. So actually it's a beef which is like a drug, and it cures obesity and diabetes and bestiality, all three. So the big drug companies now are suddenly interested in soybean farming, which they spelled P-H-A-R-M, and they've got these big farms out there in western Minnesota. But I couldn't take money for this. It's something that's for the good of mankind, for the common good. The idea is repugnant to me to accept money for this. So I accepted no money. I just was shoveled onto the gurney, and I was taken down to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, where I was treated for my minor stroke. No side effects at all. By neurologists. Now, most neurologists are very good people. They're very good people. And I'm sure it's only one or two evil neurologists who spoil it for everybody else. But there was a neurologist down there, and his name was Dr. Stein, Dr. Frank Stein. He got me alone. It was a stormy night in Rochester. It was very rainy, thunder, lightning, and so on. Electrodes attached to my forehead and so on. I just vaguely remember this. And he was trying to see if there was something else in my brain other than this formula for the soybeans that turn into triglyceride-eating beef. And he was looking, you see, for the formula for the hydrogen car or the water-powered internal combustion engine, which is the dream of inventors forever all across the Midwest. You drive through Minnesota and you pass farmyards with old cars sitting up on blocks and refrigerators and other appliances and stacks of pipes and lumber. These are inventors who have been working to discover the formula for the car that will run on water, which will make Minnesota a very, very wealthy state. We are the land of 10,000 lakes. We've got Lake Superior up there, which, as the name suggests, is better than any other lake and round. This would be a big thing. The water-powered car, Dr. Frankenstein's thinking, maybe I had worked out this problem or could work it out with my brain, even though I'd had a stroke. No side effects at all. 8742 K-E-I-L-L-O-R. Now they're looking for this water-powered car so that we can be independent of foreign oil, you see, which will be a big boon to American culture because we've lost so much of our Christian culture in this country, because oil does not come from Christian countries, does it? No, it does not. Doesn't come from England or from Germany or from Sweden. No, it does not. So once we get a water-powered car, this will be a big thing. Well, I couldn't remember this formula at all, but I did remember with tremendous clarity when these electrodes were put onto my temple. I remembered so clearly 1960 Memorial Stadium, the Minnesota Gophers football team. Bobby Bell, one of the greatest linemen ever to play college football or professional football, was on the Minnesota Gophers team, and we were going towards the Rose Bowl, and I was the student manager on this team. Walter Mondale was the coach. He was a... They wanted to have a scholarly person, you know, be the football coach in order to inspire the players to work hard at their courses. And there were a lot of liberal arts graduates, or not graduates, but majors there on the football team at that time. Sort of thoughtful young men who really experienced football deeply and who thought about it a lot and talked about it in the huddle as well. It was kind of an introspective football team, except for Bobby Bell, who really had this desire to win. And I remember it was homecoming at Memorial Stadium, and snow was falling. And we went into the locker room at halftime, and we were down by 10 points. And Coach Mondale was telling the boys that whatever happens in the game, I want you to play the game fair. Play it straight and fair so that we can be proud of each other and we'll all shake hands at the end. No, 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 Bobby Bell said. I'm coming here to win this game. We're going to win this game. I had enough of this, the Minnesota modesty and all of this that you people, you Lutherans, are brought up with in this state. I'm from North Carolina. I wasn't brought up with all that stuff, he said. I was brought up to fight and to win this game. Everybody in Minnesota has this built-in inferiority complex. Where did this come from? You got to get rid of this. Get over all this niceness that you Lutherans instill in people, this meekness. It just doesn't work in this world that we live in today. Walter Mondale was a little offended that he had insulted Lutherans, because Walter Mondale's dad was a Lutheran pastor, and he challenged Bobby Bell to arm wrestling. And so they were going to arm wrestle, and Bobby Bell said, in North Carolina, it's only women and tenors who arm wrestle. Men leg wrestle down there. So he and Walter Mondale lay down side by side, and they prepared to leg wrestle. You toss your leg up in the air three times, and on the third time, you hook legs, and one of you is going to flip over backwards. Well, the first time, Walter Mondale threw Bobby Bell practically across the room. Bobby Bell was astonished that this mild-mannered Lutheran with the wire-rimmed glasses could do this to him. And then they went for, not two out of three, said Bobby Brown. So they went for the second one. And he flipped Coach Mondale over, all the way over. And then they came down to the third one. And I stood up, the student manager, and I said, why are we fighting among ourselves? I said, why are we fighting? Why don't we go out there and beat this team? We're from Minnesota. We may be modest. We may be low-impact people. We may be brought up to take our turn and to be kind and generous to others. But let's go out there and do great things. We're capable of doing great things. And let's go out there and beat Purdue. And they went out on the field that day. And there was snow covering the grass of Memorial Stadium. And because my people were built low to the ground, they won that game 35-20. They won homecoming that year. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.
The News from Lake Wobegon podcast has been made possible by Pillsbury Grand's Cinnamon Rolls, offering your family the fresh baked aroma and taste of Cinnabon Cinnamon. You can find them in your grocer's refrigerated section. Pillsbury Grand's Cinnamon Rolls, making Sundays even sweeter.